Often hastiness is from Satan. Haste is the enemy of perfection. Often hastiness is from Satan. Haste is the enemy of perfection.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Hari Islami brothers and viewers of Madani channel, welcome back to our silsila. And as you've noticed, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, there are some very important topics that we discuss in this silsila. And these topics are related to rushing, hastiness, jaldbazi ke nuksanat. My dear Islami brothers and viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, today in our topic, in our silsila, we'll be discussing another very important ibadat that a person rushes into and loses the blessings and the benefits. And today, inshallah, we're going to discuss about Durood Sharif, about reciting Durood onto the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and how people lose the blessing and the benefit of reciting Durood, but they rush into things. And then also, what it is like, what is the hukum of Shariat to recite Durood-e-Pak in abbreviations. And then also, inshallah, we're going to discuss some of the worldly matters. For example, when a person, he chooses a partner for himself, or even when he asks Allah for the things of this world. And then also, very important thing of medical treatment, how people rush into medical treatments, and then they don't get the results that a person is looking for. But before that, inshallah, let's listen to a beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam about reciting durood and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amiri Ahle Sunnat, Shaykh Tariqat, the leader and founder of Dawat Islami, Hazrat Allama Mawlana Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, in one of his booklets, Ba Haya Nojawan. In that, Amiri Ahle Sunnat, he writes a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and the quotation is from At-Targhib wa Tarheeb, that Sayyiduna Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he reports that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, whoever recites durood upon me 10 times during the day and 10 times during the evening will intercede for that person on the day of judgment. So whoever recites 10 times during the day and 10 times during the evening, morning and evening. Now how long does it take to recite durood-e-pak 10 times? You know, we might be, you know, if you think to yourself, sometimes, you know, we say that we are so busy in our life, we can't even recite 10 times durood-e-pak. Yeah, look at the beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that whoever recites just 10 times in the morning and 10 times in the evening, yani the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, will intercede for that person. And the words are that my intercession will definitely reach that person. So my dear Islam brothers, let's all make the intention, inshallah azza wa jal, that from now on, we will recite durood-e-pak onto the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam with love and affection. And inshallah azza wa jal, by acting upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, because remember, there are many, many beautiful hadiths that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has mentioned about reciting durood-e-pak. May Allah azza wa jal reward us all, and may Allah azza wa jal give us the ability to recite durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with love and affection. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim. Hazrat Sayyiduna Sheikh Ahmad bin Shahabuddin ibn Hajar Khaitami Makki Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi writes in Fatawa Hadithiya that you should write sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in full when mentioning the blessed name of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And this way, this is the way of the previous pious predecessors. And do not write Sal'am, as this is the way of the deprived people. Those people who have been deprived by from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And remember, my dear Islamic brothers, the scholars, they have said that writing Sal'am or even a sword, and in English sometimes you see when you read an Islamic book, and when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's beautiful name is mentioned, in the brackets you'll just find S, or you just find S-A-W. Now these are abbreviations that people use, and remember, there is no meaning for these abbreviations. These are disliked and makruh methods. Even if you write the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then if 1,000 times, then you must write 1,000 times Durood-e Pak. Now remember, my dear Islam brothers, the scholars, they have forbidden from writing such abbreviations like Sal'am, Saad, or S-A-W, or a S in the bracket, and then for the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, people just write S, or Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, they just write an S, B. All these abbreviations for Radiallahu Ta'ala Anhu, when we're mentioning the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they'll just say write R-A in the brackets. These don't mean anything. Now, and some of the scholars, they have even gone to an extent that they have issued a very strict verdict on that person who writes abbreviations instead of writing the full Durood-e Pak. And today, you know, people spend a lot of time writing novels. We write hundreds and hundreds of pages of books, right? Just a novel, a story which has no meaning at all. Yet people have time to write that. You know, they use so much ink, but just to save one drop of ink, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, he says that just to save a few millimeters of paper and a second of a time, people lose the blessings and deprive themselves of its virtues. As Muslims, my dear Islam brothers, to show our love for the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, we should write Durood-e Pak fully. So when you are writing a book, or you're writing a few words, then whenever the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam's name you are writing, then make sure in the brackets, don't write S-A-W, in the brackets, write full sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, or peace and blessings be upon him. That is the translation of that Durood-e Pak. So even that is a Durood as well. But my dear Islam brothers, please do not write abbreviations. Hazrat Sayyiduna Allama Jalaluddin Sayyuti Shafi'i Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, a great saint and a great scholar of his time, he writes in his book that the first person who wrote Durood Sharif in shorthand, his hands were cut off. Even when writing the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, write Azza wa Jal, O Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, O Jalla Jalaluhu in full. Don't just write Jeem. And then, like as mentioned before, when you write the name of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, don't only write R-A in the brackets, write radiyallahu ta'ala anhu complete. And then sometimes when you are talking, now this is very important, especially for a muballigh when he's doing the bayan, and when you mention the name of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, people sometimes they rush into that and they don't mention the name fully. Hazrat Sayyiduna Shaykh Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali Shazli, he once saw the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam in his dream. He used to recite a wazifa. And that particular day, he was reciting his wazifa and he was rushing into reciting the Durood-e Pak. And he saw the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam in his dream, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, don't you know that rushing is the way of the shaitan? That, oh, Muwahib, you are rushing into reciting Durood-e Pak. Don't you know that this is the way of the shaitan? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he instructed him to recite in a beautiful manner. And slowly, the words were, Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin. But if time is short, then you can read a bit faster. Now sometimes we're reading our wazife, and you gotta read 1,000 times Durood-e Pak. Alhamdulillah, there are many benefits of reciting Durood, as we've heard from the Muballigheen. We keep on hearing this on Madani channel. There is a blessing if you recite 313 times. There is a blessing that if you recite 1,000 times Durood-e Pak, 100 times Durood-e Pak. So just to get that blessing People think that, you know, people assume that they need to recite it very, very quickly. And then what happens? You know, they don't even know the correct words they are reciting. They make mistakes in offering or reading the words correctly. And therefore, that wazifa is not counted, is not accepted, it's not a valid wazifa. But here the scholars, they mention that if you do recite the Durood-e Pak onto the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then just to recite a bit faster. For example, a faster does not mean that you don't understand the words. Faster means that you recite the Durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but a bit faster. Now here, my dear Islam brothers, those brothers who recite their wazifa by rushing. Remember, any wazifa that we read, there are three conditions for reciting or reading any wazifa. The first thing that the scholars have mentioned is husn-e-i'tikad. Husn-e-i'tikad means good faith. Don't have any doubts in your heart, but rather trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. In the hadith, the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he says, "Ud'u Allah wa antum muqinuna bil ijaba." Make dua to Allah Azza wa Jal in a manner and trust that Allah Ta'ala will be accepting this dua. So whenever we make a dua in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, or whenever we read a wazifa, don't rush into reading that wazifa. Always be calm about it. Don't rush into things. And then the one thing, we need to have the husn-i-i'tikad. We need to have that good faith. People recite loads of wazifa. But when it comes to reciting a wazifa, sometimes you think, oh, well, I'm reading this wazifa, nothing happens. I've been reading this wazifa, someone told me, read this wazifa 100 times, whatever your dua will be, it'll be accepted. I'm reading it so many times, nothing has happened. So that husn-i-i'tikad is that trust in Allah Azza wa Jal is very, very important. Anything what we do, we always need to have that trust in Allah. Remember, who does not have the trust in Allah is the shaitan. The shaitan, he doesn't trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. But we Muslims, especially, we should have that trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. And we should have trust in Allah Azza wa Jal so much that we don't need to think about anything. Don't ever think to yourself, now this wazifa I'm reading, it's not going to happen, it's not going to work for me. Don't think like that. Why will it not work for you? If it's worked for many people, why would this wazifa not work for you? But what will happen is maybe Allah Azza wa Jal has something better planned for you, what you are asking for. So husn-i-i'tikad, trust in Allah Azza wa Jal, is a very important thing. And number two is sabro tahammul, patience. And if days pass by, don't worry and keep the trust of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now don't rush into things, be patient. Sometimes what happens, you get a wazifa, read this wazifa 3 times for 20 to 21 days, your whatever you are asking for, inshallah, your desires will be fulfilled. And then a person, he sits down for 21 days, he keeps on reading his wazifa. After 21 days, nothing happens. Now, don't think to yourself, nothing has happened. A lot of things have happened. Now, think to yourself, if someone told you to read Ya Salamu 11 times after every salah and read for 11 days. Now, after 11 days, if that problem is still there, and the shaitan comes to you and says, what have you achieved? You haven't achieved anything. Then the reply to the shaitan is that, yes, oh shaitan, I have achieved something. Because Allah Ta'ala gave me the power and the ability to recite Ya Salamu, which is one of the beautiful attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. I have recited the beautiful name of Allah Azza wa Jal so many times. I've achieved something. So even though you might not be rewarded directly in this world, my dear Islam brothers, always be patient. Don't rush into that. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says in para number 10, Surah At-Tawbah, verse number 59, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ رَدُوا مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ سَيُؤْتِينَ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَرَسُولُهُ إِنَّا إِلَى اللَّهِ رَاغِبُونَ. That what good it will be if they were pleased with what Allah Azza wa Jal and His beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them, and say that Allah is enough for us. Now Allah gives His grace and we turn towards Allah and His beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah. So this is what Allah Azza wa Jal, He says in the Quran, that be happy, be pleased with what Allah Ta'ala has given you. My dear Islam brothers, always turn towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Always turn towards Allah azza wa jal. When we are in need, when we are in desperate need, when we are in a problem, my dear Islam brothers, alhamdulillah azza wa jal, the Quran is there for us. The beautiful Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are there for us. So always remember, never ever rush into these kind of things. And anyone who rushes into these things, that person, he will never gain the blessings of whatever he is reading. And the third thing is that whatever wazifa you are reading, then my dear Islamic brothers, have the permission of that wazifa. Some of the wazaif, you need the permission of your sheikh, of your pir kamil, to give you ijazat to read that wazifa. Not every person is allowed to read any wazifa. So if there's any wazifa that you wish to read, and you think that you need the permission of your sheikh, then ask permission from your sheikh, your peer sahab. If you are not bait with anyone, then alhamdulillah, azza wa jal, my dear Islamic brothers, I invite you to have bait with Amiri Ahl Sunnat. Inshallah, azza wa jal, Amiri Ahl Sunnat does bait in the Qadri Razavi Silsila. So inshallah, you will be bait in the Razavi Silsila with Ala Hazrat, Imam Ahl Sunnat radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then alhamdulillah, in the Qadri Silsila, which goes back to Sayyiduna Ghawth-e Pak radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So inshallah, azza wa jal, then we can start to gain more blessings and benefits. Now another thing that people rush into things is the demand of this world. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says inside the Holy Quran, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعَاجِلَةَ عَجَّلْنَا لَهُ فِيهَا مَا نَشَاءُ لِمَنْ نُرِيدُ ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَا لَهُ جَهَنَّمْ يَصْلَاهَا مَذْمُومًا مَدْحُورًا. Translation, whoever desires this fleeting one, we may give him quickly whatever we will, to whomever we will, and then assign hell for him to enter it, condemned, pushed around. My dear Islam brothers, whatever we ask something regarding the dunya, again, don't rush into things. Don't rush into things, and especially don't ask about the dunya itself only. As Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, there are two groups of people, two types of people. And one type of a person, when he makes dua in such manner, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. Oh Allah, give me in this world and nothing for him, for that person on the day of judgment. There's nothing for him because he is asking from Allah Azza wa Jal only for this dunya. And how many people do you see? There are many, many, even sadly Muslims who will ask for this world, who only work, who only dream this world. What about the hereafter? What about the grave? We are going to die one day. Everyone knows that we are going to die, but how many times have we ever made a dua in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal for a better grave, for a better hereafter? How many times have we ever made the dua in the court of Allah that Ya Allah, make me the neighbor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, make me the neighbor of the Anbiya-i Kiram, make me the neighbor of the Awliya-i Kiram. These are duas, such duas that we hardly even make in the court of Allah azza wa jal. So it's very important, my dear Islam brothers, that whenever we make dua in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, do not rush into them. Even if it's not, if making dua for the world is jais, is acceptable. But not everything in the dunya, that is the hereafter as well. And we Muslims, alhamdulillah, we believe in the life after death. We believe in that. As Muslims, we know that we'll be risen from our graves. And then we will have to answer to Allah Azza wa Jal on the day of judgment. And what about that? Then it'll be hell, then it'll be heaven. Now, we make dua for heaven. But we need to make dua for Allah Azza wa Jal to keep us away from the fire of hell as well. And then ask Allah Azza wa Jal, you need a good job? You make a dua in the court of Allah. If you are ill, you want Allah Azza wa Jal to give you shifa, then ask in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, these duas will be accepted. But do not rush into making these duas. Another thing that people rush into is looking for a partner. When they get married, they rush into things. You've seen someone, you've seen this girl, you just want to get married to her. No matter what happens, my parents are not happy with me, doesn't matter. I just want to get married to this girl. Never ever rush into things. And whilst we're on this topic, there's a beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. I'm just going to tell you the explanatory meaning of this hadith. Is that there are four reasons why a man will do nikah with a girl, with a woman. And number one is wealth. You will do nikah with a woman because of the wealth she has. Number two is because of the ancestors, the lineage, her family. That is the second reason. The third reason is beauty. She'll be beautiful. You do nikah. Number four is religion. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, Fazfir bizati deen. You choose the one who is religious. This hadith was quoted in Bukhari Sharif. So you choose someone who is religious. Don't just go for the looks. Just don't go for another lot of people today. Sadly, our youngsters, viewers of Madani Channel who are young, who are still, you know, looking for a rishta, who are still looking for a partner, for a wife. Why is it that people nowadays look for, they look at the beauty? And remember one thing, my dear Islam brothers, beauty will finish one day. Beauty can be deceiving. Remember what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, look at her deen, how pious she is. If you have a beautiful wife, but the deen isn't there, she doesn't offer her salah, she's not respected, she's not respecting you, she's not respecting your parents, she's not respecting the family, she doesn't have that respect for elders, what is she going to pass on to the children? When you have children, she's not going to pass on to her children, is she? Because she's not respectful herself. If you choose a wife, and she's wealthy, she's got a lot of money, her father's a really rich person, don't just marry her because she's got money, because that money will make you her slave. And then what happens is when you become the slave of your own wife, you're going to have problems in your life as well. So don't just go for the wealth. And then the other thing, look at the lineage, look at the family, look at how her family is. I know that one of the brothers, he was mentioning that when he was about to get married, he wanted to get married to this woman. And his father, he wouldn't accept this marriage. Why? Because of her brothers and her father. Because of her, and the young man, he says that I used to tell my father that what have I got to do with her father and the brothers? I'm going to get married to the daughter. I'm going to get married to the woman, so I've got nothing to do with the father. So he goes that I was so engraved and so angry with my father that I decided whatever happens, I'm going to get married to her. What does my dad know? And this is what a lot of youngsters sadly are thinking and saying. What does my dad know? What does the old man know? He lives in the past. He lives in dark ages. I know what happens. We live in the modern times. I know what happens. I understand why it's happening. No, you don't understand. You only understand when you are thrown back at home. And so many times that has happened. People have ended up in jails because of their wives. People have ended up in jails because of their. Now, and don't take this wrong. I don't just mean wives. Vice versa. You know, it has to be vice versa. You look at a good rishta, good partner for your daughter as well. And that is a saying that Allama Sha'bi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he narrates that whoever weds his daughter off to a fasiq, someone who doesn't offer his salah, someone who ma'azallah, who shaves his beard, though a fasiq or fajir, that evil person, he has broken kinship. Then he has broken that relationship with his daughter. If you get your daughter married off someone, and then he says, therefore think and ponder and then make that relationship. And this is quoted in Shu'b al-Iman. So remember, even if you have a daughter, don't just look at someone who earns a lot of money. Oh, this boy, he's got a beautiful job. He flies around the world. You know, my daughter's going to be happy. Yes, he's going to fly around the world. Your daughter's going to be at home. Yeah, she might be at home and he's flying around the world. And then what will happen? You'll realize and you'll understand because these cases are coming forward now. Yeah, my son-in-law, he's got a beautiful job. He's in America one day, he's in Canada the other day, he's in Europe the other day, he's in Africa the other day. And then he emerges on that he's married 3 or 4 times already. So think to yourself, before you give these daughters, they're princes. They're your princesses. Don't give your princesses away to anyone. Look at that person. Just don't look at the wealth. And a father, he came up one day and he says that, I want to ask about this young lad. And, you know, he asked me and I told him that, look, you know, he's not a namazi type of a person, but he's got a good job, and I don't even know where his money is coming from. You need to be very, very careful. And he says, oh, no, I found about it. He's got a very good job. And then later on, it emerged that he used to do credit card fraud, and now he is in jail for 6 years. Yeah, so we rushed into things. We just looked at the money. We just looked at the beauty, and you've destroyed your life. And so many cases have happened. That your daughter is going to get married into a family. Now she stays, she's a part of that family now. And then what will happen? If that family isn't good, if the lineage of the ancestors before, is they pass on, don't they? These genes, they pass on. And because you only looked at your son-in-law, who's got a good job, what about his behavior? What about his attitude? And so many times, parents, yeah, they cry that we've wedded our daughter into this family and our daughter is crying every day. So my dear Islam brothers, please do not rush into things, especially at the time of marriage. Remember, this is going to be such an action that you know, majority of the time people get married once in their life. You need to make this choice, the best choice you can ever make, and you can either make it or you're going to break it. So whenever you marry someone, then why not act upon the sunnah? Do istikhara. Alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami does free istikhara. Now you can do it online, you can ring, or if you go onto the website of Dawat Islami, www.dawatislami.net, and go onto the web, onto the page istikhara, click on that, and inshallah they'll give you a number for istikhara. Ring up in the istikhara line and ask them that I am going to marry this so and so girl and is it good for me? Now istikhara, they'll give you they'll give you a sign if it's good or bad. Now it doesn't mean that you have to follow whatever they say, but it just gives you a sign that if it's going to be good or bad for you. So my dear Islam brothers, hastiness in looking for a partner. A lot of people make this mistake and they cry for the whole of their lives. So always make sure, especially my younger viewers who are watching me, you know, my dear Islam brothers, think to yourself, you need to choose a wife. And you know what the first right of a child is? The first right of a child, even before your child is born, even before you get married. Ala Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he writes in his book that the first right of your child is that you choose a good wife for yourself. You choose a good mother for your future children. Because if you choose a mother, you know, look at the beautiful examples we have. Ala Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he mentions this, and Amir Ahl Sunnat has mentioned this about Ghawse Pak radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He, when he was born, he was hafiz of nearly 18 pare. Why? Because of his mother. She was a pious woman. She used to recite the Holy Quran. And Ghawse Pak radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he would say that I learned these 18 pare whilst I was in the womb of my mother. She used to recite the Rude Pak. Imagine you get married to a woman who's always watching movies on the TV. She's watching soap operas. She's watching dramas. She's always watching films. What are your children going to grow up? You'll be there busy working all day long. And she'll be home busy watching videos. Why your children are going to grow up? You want your child to become a waliullah. You want your child to become a good Muslim. And then your wife at home, ma'azallah, if she's watching video films, she's giving milk to her children, she's giving food to her children, and all the time, you know, she's always doing things that are against the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What expectations have we got that our children will grow up as pious Muslims? And vice versa. The Islamic sisters, when they get married, parents should be, you know, should be really picky of which son-in-law they would want. Just don't go for the money, because this is what people go for. When a boy wants to marry a girl, the only thing, or the most of the time, the only thing they look is the beauty. That's it. Or the wealth. And vice versa. When you get married to a boy, there's the beauty and the wealth. The deen should be number one. Is he a namazi? Does he offer his 5 times salah? If he doesn't offer his 5 times salah, let him be a millionaire. Don't be fooled into that. Nigran-e Shura, can remember Nigran-e Shura mentioning in his bayan about a buzurg rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. He had one daughter and he was a very, very close minister to the king. So he was a very rich person and he had so many proposals coming from kings and princes throughout the whole world. Yet he would not give his rishta for his daughter to these people. What did he do? He went to a masjid and he looked around. He was looking for someone pious for his daughter. And he went and he saw this young man, skinny, but he had the noor of ibadat on his face. And he went up to him and he says, and he asks him, do you want to get married? And the young man, because he couldn't even afford to feed his own self, he was so poor. The young man, he says that, you know, I can't even look after myself. I can't even feed myself. How am I going to feed someone else? So he declined. But that Buzurg Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, he says that, look, I will give you all the expenses. Don't you worry about that if you want to get married. So he says, well, if that is the case, then yes, I'll get married. And alhamdulillah, that Buzurg's daughter, you know, you could say that she was a waliya of her time as well. And his new son-in-law was a waliya of his time. So you need to look for a good rishta. Don't look at someone who's driving a beautiful car, who's a big mansion. Yeah, that's the best house. No, these are not the things what Islam. We see that so many times. And sometimes we see these things happening again and again. You know, every time people spend thousands of pounds. I know of a person who spent nearly 30 grand on a wedding. He got his daughter married off. 3 days later, she was back home. Why? Because that boy, he looked good, but he doesn't have an attitude. He has an attitude problem. She couldn't live with him. 3 days back, she was home and she got divorced. So never ever rush into getting married, especially I'm talking to the parents. And then I just want to mention this thing, and I think it's very, very important. Don't force your children to get married where you wish to get them married. And my advice to the children will be, if you want to get married and you've chosen someone, let your parents deal with that. Let them deal with that. Let them talk to the families, because their experience, they've lived a life. And don't ever utter these words that you don't know what you're talking about. You know, you're in the backwards days. No. So don't ever utter these words to your parents. The other thing, my dear Islam brothers, that people will rush into things is medical treatment. Yeah, they'll go to a doctor and the doctor will prescribe some medicine. 3-4 days later, back to the doctor again. Doctor, you gave me this medicine. It doesn't even work. You know, there's no such thing as medicine doesn't work. You know, it might not work on you, but that medicine that people have made, you know, there's a reason why they made that medicine. Maybe it's not in your taqdeer, in your kismet, that Allah Ta'ala gives you shifa. And then what happens? This doctor, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Let's go to another doctor. So as soon as that doctor, he finds out what your problem is, we change doctors. You go to the next one. You go to him, he gives you medicine. Why? He's going to start from all over again. The process is going to be started all over again. Then you go to him, 3-4 days or weeks down the line, not getting better. Now let's go to the third one. All what we're doing is we're just going round in circles from one doctor to the other doctor. Why? Is we rush into things. We think that, no, I should be eating the tablet as soon as it goes into my mouth, I should be better. That's not the case. Sometimes people will eat a tablet and just give them a headache. A normal headache. People will eat a tablet and within a half an hour or 26 minutes, they'll get better. And sometimes you got to eat another 2 tablets after 4 hours. Why? You're still not better. So every person is different. And my dear Islam brothers, as well as taking medicine, have you ever thought to yourself, what about spiritual cure? Sometimes these diseases are spiritually. You know, they're not physical problems, they are spiritual problems. So what do you do if you have a spiritual problem? Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, Dawat Islami, on Tawizat-e Attariya, Maktab, all around the world, Dawat Islami gives you free Tawizat. No money will be charged. And they will, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, they will give you Tawizat. And there are so many cases where people were did not get better by eating medicine, yet they went to the Maktab of Tawizat-e Attariya, and alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala gave him shifa. Remember, shifa is from Allah. You can eat every medicine in the world. If shifa is not written for you, you'll never get better. You can take any taweez in the world. If shifa is not written for you, you will never get better. But at least we should try our best. And one more thing, my dear Islam brothers. You must have heard Amir Ahle Sunnah. Amir Ahle Sunnah, he says that once you do medical treatment, always do spiritual tawizat treatment as well. But remember, if you're taking tablets, for example, someone's diabetic and he needs to take insulin, you know, no muballig of Dawat Islami, no tawizat attariya basta will say to you, forget insulin now, you don't need that, you just take these tawiz, you'll get better. No, Amir Ahle Sunnah, he says, you take your insulin as well, you take your tablets as well. But yeah, do the course for Tawizat as well. So my dear Islam brothers, in this silsila, we've tried to learn about some of the things that people rush into. Inshallah, until next time, in the next silsila, we'll talk about some other things that people will rush into and they will not benefit from them. So may Allah give me, you and all of us the ability to act upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah. And remember, keep watching Madani channel and invite people to watch Madani channel as well. May Allah Azza wa Jal forgive me and all of us. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sallu alil Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Often hastiness is from Satan. Haste is the enemy of perfection. Often hastiness is from Satan. Haste is the enemy of perfection.